This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Gonna hand it off to Henry, and he's bottled up. The ball is out. It's loose. Who's got the football? It's Buffalo ball at the Baltimore 30-yard line.
Hats off to our defense, and you know the last three or four drives, you know, playing some big boy football. That's a really, really good offense. It's a really good team.
It's Mike Shope.
Allen reaches over the goal line, and he is in. He went high side this time instead of low. And he punched it in for the one-yard touchdown run.
Great win, and they're hard to come by. That locker room, man, they kept playing. Those guys and coaches kept coaching. Wasn't pretty at times, and got a lot to learn from this game, and it's always good that you can learn after a win than after a loss.
And the Bulldog.
Down to 3 seconds. Here's the snap. Hold is down. Kick on the way. And it is good. And Matt Prater, in his first game as a Buffalo Bill, has won the ball game here in week one. The Bills were down by 15 in the fourth quarter. They come all the way back to win the game at the gun.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Is it possible that somebody listening right now just found out that they won? Does everybody know yet? I mean, I know what kind of world it is. You kind of know everything immediately, but
yeah.
There were people, including someone you know well,
right.
Who didn't know until today.
Right.
That's forgivable.
My wife spent the balance of the game in her attic studio. She got a big weekend coming up at Borderland, and I had friends over, and she did not know. This morning, we awakened at the same – I think she was actually working. She's sleeping now because she's working overnights. Anyway, we met in the hallway outside our bedroom at about 7:45 this morning when I got up, and she was coming downstairs from her attic studio to go to bed and said, I'm sorry the Bills didn't win. And I was, hon, they came all the way back. It was incredible. She's like, how did I not hear you screaming? I'm like, well, one guy left. At 40-25, he just like, Sunday night.
Listen, if you're out there being shamed today for leaving early, I'm here to help.
Yeah,
I didn't go to the game, but I'm easy to talk into leaving early when it's Sunday night, coming up on midnight, and it's, you know, almost definitely over, just not definitely.
Right.
So you can get me there.
So it's, I don't know, it's almost 8 hours later that my wife learned that they had won the game. It's possible. Someone didn't know and didn't check and is surprised. So maybe we're the ones telling them. I doubt it. If you're listening to this show, you probably know they won.
You know, it's possible, I suppose. Football Monday on WGR brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. What a first game for the stadiums last year. You know what's funny to me? I thought about this today. Last week, just kind of randomly like we do, I asked you, is there any Bills winning final score? that would upset you. And you said no. And I'm like, 2-0. And you're like, no.
Fine.
Then I said 2-1. And I, this is funny too, struggled to explain how you can get 1 point, other than on an extra point, in a football game. And so I blew that. We almost had it last night. On the 2-point play that is at Hamilton, he intercepts the pass and laterals to Van Noy. And Van Noy comes out of the end zone and takes a knee. If he takes a knee in the end zone,
yeah,
I think that that's
the... That would have been a point, but it would have been preceded by a touchdown. So it's still... The part of the conversation I remember the most is that can you just get 1 point?
Yeah, that's how you could have gotten 1 point.
But it would have...
After it was a 2-point play.
Right, so I wasn't going to have 1 as my score, is what I'm saying. I don't know that there's a way to have 1 as your score.
Well, anyway, I don't need to butcher it again. But what was funny to me is like, all right, what if last week in that conversation I would have said 41-40?
What? Yeah, well, I mean, you could have, I suppose. I mean, you could have picked any score you want, 2-0, even 2-1.
From an entertainment standpoint, 41-40 is a home run.
Right, you would never be, I don't think, maybe people are really mad about the defense out there.
I don't know about really mad, but you would be right to wonder what they are.
Be concerned, sure.
I mean, they got run over in this game.
Yes, they did.
And, I mean, for most, what's funny about last night, I mean, it might be a game we never forget. If you stayed up, I guess. I mean, it's great matchup, opening night. It'll go down in the annals, this game. For most of it, how was your mood?
I was pretty sour.
You know? Like, man. All right, so a little bit of revenge on Baltimore's side. Oh, we know Derrick Henry can be a problem. You know Lamar can be a problem. And, like, they just could not. For the second game in a row against this team, they couldn't stop them at all.
I spent way more time than I would like during the fourth quarter prior to the Bills, you know, getting the first touchdown and then the turnover and then thinking about what I was going to be saying about it. If they, you know, if they lose the game 40-25, whatever, you know, whenever the score was there, or maybe it even gets worse than that before it's over, like how do you want to frame this? And I like to try to just watch the games and not be thinking about this as much. But when a game gets like that, that's where my mind goes. My mind goes like, how am I going to manage this? Right? Like, what do I want to be heard saying about all of this? And so that was mostly what I was doing when the comeback started, was thinking about, you know, long season, you know, too bad Kansas City lost. You could have put this team down 0-1-2, but, you know, long year, just get your boots on, schedule eases up, yada, yada. But and that inherently makes me feel depressed. If I'm thinking about that during a game, I'm pretty bummed out. So I was pretty bummed out for most of the second half of this game.
Well, you could say all that, but then really have the conversation about what their defense is going to be. I mean, that's the Ravens. And so I'm sure if they lose the game like that and we go hard at, like, this defense, this could be bad. You know, like, this could be the first Bills one of these seasons where their defense is really down. And, you know, that would have been met with a lot of, but it's Baltimore. Mm-hmm. And really, the outcome of the game is different, but the conversation is still there. Like, just what that's going to be, but it's Baltimore. I mean, I don't know. We'll get to it. It's only Monday. But the Jets did kind of just do the same thing to Pittsburgh yesterday. They lost too, but
they ran for almost 200 yards.
They ran it easily through Pittsburgh. So anyway, that's not where we are. We've said it so many times. Games like this, even without like the comeback piece, the Bills just do important little things, details, better than the Ravens do. And I thought that was. There was something I made a note of right in the first quarter in this game where the Bills get the opening kickoff. They start at about midfield or right at midfield, and they're driving, and they get to 3rd and 7. And a Baltimore lineman jumps, and Spencer Brown stands right up immediately, 5 free yards, 3rd and 2, and that's automatic for this team. Touchdown, right? Ultimately touchdown. Baltimore goes the other way, and they're driving, and a Bills linebacker, I forget who, shows blitz by sprinting to the line, but he stops at the line. Like, he might be trying to bait Baltimore into a false start. And just like, you know, that's not going to be what happens every time. But like right away, compare and contrast, you've got one team that, I mean, Brown has to have that instinct. That's preparation. Like, you wouldn't always want to jump. It's not always obvious to the officials or how soon is the snap coming, where you might be like, it's too late. Different things might be in your mind there. It might be interesting for Eric Wood, although he was a center and didn't have that particular challenge. But still, like, on it right there, 5 free yards, ultimately a touchdown drive. And after, I don't remember what happened on the play that I mentioned when the Bills were on defense, but Jackson takes a big sack on that drive, and they end up kicking like a 52-yard field goal or something to, you know, to score. So just the details. And, of course, Baltimore has really made a habit of, for as good as they are, losing games like this. I mean, that's like, I think that's the big takeaway from last night overall in the league, is like the Ravens again, like, as good as, look how good they dominated.
Yeah.
And I mean, they didn't run that many plays because they were so efficient. Like, you can't blame them for that. It was more like the Chief playoff game here, where it was just sort of like, you know, kind of easy.
Yeah, I think I read that it's their sixth loss like that in some, maybe in the Jackson window, whatever it is. It's like with some window of time here, last 5 or 6 seasons, they've lost 6 games with that kind of a lead in the fourth quarter.
Win probability, where their win probability is in the 90s or something like that. The Raider game a year or two ago. There's a pile of them.
Well, I'm mostly, I bet a lot of fans have already said this amongst themselves, and maybe the morning show guys said it or whatever. I mean, there's a lot of talk by the time we get on the air here at 3 o'clock, but it's awfully nice to have a game that's being talked about already after only 1 week's worth of games, minus one that goes tonight between the Vikings and Bears, to have a game that is qualifying as game of the year worthy, and the Bills didn't lose it. Yeah. Because we had our fair, you know, going all the way back to the divisional round in 21 in Kansas City. You've got the Eagle game from a couple of years ago. They've had these examples. Justin Jefferson. These games that are just sort of, I cannot believe the ride this game is. What a game. Oh, you lost. So they at least got that going for them and for us too. So it's certainly a much different scenario than, you know, if we'd been wildly entertained by a comeback that just falls short. Like, somehow Kyle Hamilton actually gets his entire hand on that football, because I think he touched it.
The field goal?
Yeah, I don't know if he talked about it after the game or was asked, but man, the first replay I saw of it, even before NBC left the air, I thought, geez, that looks like it just flicked off the very littlest bit of his hand.
Oh, my gosh.
Might have been an optical illusion, but it was so close.
To lose like that would have been incredible.
Yes. Yes.
And that's like the Denver game a little bit.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't want to say too typical, but, it, you know, we've got our share of these heartbreaking, I can't believe they found a way to lose that game of the year type games. And so if that had happened, oh my gosh, right? I mean, it'd just be, we'd be on fire over here.
Allen's now beaten the Ravens twice in his career, kneeling out the last series to set up the winning field goal. He did that in a game in Baltimore a few years ago also. Yeah, I mean, it's a great win. It's an incredible start to the season, almost unbelievable what that game was. I think you can and will want to, I'll want to talk about like what went wrong for them in that game. Like, if I don't want to put it as like if the end doesn't happen, because the end happened. Like, that isn't to be like sort of disregarded. But for most of this game, you say like you were thinking about what you might want to talk about. What would that have been? You know, like, defensive, there were already questions, but this opponent is the wrong opponent if you're sort of not all the way where you want to be defensively. The receivers, Coleman ends up, one of their touchdowns late was Coleman. He ends up with a big night. And that's a great sign for them. That, and there was a lot of talk about whether that was going to be coming this year, and that's off to a great start. Did we have that with 5 minutes to go?
No, I think really. Almost all of that. I think he only had one catch prior to the fourth quarter. I think he had 11 targets in the game, and 10 of them, I believe, were in the fourth quarter. So,
that's
crazy. I mean, that really popped there.
Allen threw for 251 in the fourth alone.
Right. and scored two rushing touchdowns if you want it. I mean, holy cow.
Yeah.
It's like a player, almost a player of the week performance in the fourth quarter.
One quarter.
But yeah, Coleman, when we talked, you know, we talked about everything, obviously, for months, but even in the week leading up to this game, you know, about a number one emerging, like what happens with the receiving core? What do they really have there? And when we talked about Coleman, I think it was like, yeah, if we could just get like a 7 for 120 and one, like that would feel really good. You know, like that'd be a really positive sign. And yet, yeah, pretty close.
That was it almost exactly.
It took until the very end of the game for it to happen, but he got there. So that's encouraging. The fact that Allen was going to him with the game on the line like that might be the most notable thing about it. I mean, the most notable thing about it is that he came through and made these plays, and together that hookup worked. But the fact that Allen is targeting him 10 times in that quarter when they're trying to mount that comeback, I think is encouraging for Coleman's emergence.
They're just – I know that this is putting it very simply, but they're just so tough to beat. I used to talk about Serena Williams when she was in her prime, and – a lot of, you know, great rivals and, you know, major championships. I was watching tennis then. I'm really not anymore. It's a big deal in our house. And so we'd watch all these slams and, like, there's Serena Williams. And there were lots of times when one of her many great rivals, like, looked like they had her. And you could fall for it. You know, like in wrestling, you know, in wrestling, there's probably going to be some dramatic twist at the end. In tennis or in football, you just don't know that. So lots of times she was on the ropes, but they couldn't beat her. You know, when it was a big one, she would figure out a way to do it. And that's, like, these guys, yes, there are a handful of games that were amazing that they didn't win. And they still have the playoff hurdle, and that doesn't change at all right. Yesterday or today. Except for that maybe Baltimore's reputation is just that much more enhanced by losing this game. Sort of, like, takes you back to the playoffs and brings up their failures, but that's Baltimore. Like, this team, I mean, their last home loss is that Denver game with Ken Dorsey was calling plays. Like, they're just so tough to beat. Think about last year. They lose four games. The Ravens pretty much clobbered them. And the Bills have only a couple of those, you know. Yep. When they lose, it's usually close, so they've only had a couple of those through the years. The Texans game was kind of a fluke. Like, they were in pretty good shape in that game, even though they couldn't do anything. They still just had a 60-yard field goal, and just a couple of things went wrong. It's the Rams.
That was almost a game of the year candidate.
Yes, 44-42 right. Is the Rams score. They give up a blocked punt touchdown, but really are unstoppable and still lose that game. And then it's Kansas City in the playoffs, which doesn't get much closer than that. They're just so tough to beat. And they don't have comebacks, though, really. Like, they don't have a lot of these where, like, Allen isn't John Elway for having the reputation of their couple, but still, like,
right.
This one is different in that way. They're just so tough to beat. Well, I don't know. I wasn't thinking about the show so much before the game was over, but when it was over, I was up for 2 hours. I wrote down one thing. I wrote down, if this team does not win the Super Bowl, it's criminal. Like, that might be an overstatement, but how does a team, either of these teams, like, it's a worse loss than it is a great win. I mean, you can't lose a game where you're up
15 with 4 minutes to go.
They even had the ball with the 15-point lead in the fourth quarter and went 3 and out.
Right.
So, wow. Both these teams, you could say that. They could say that about themselves. Like, how can we not – fans are the ones to say it. How can they not win? That's what last night left me with. Like, just sky's the limit.
Yep.
New season. Kansas City, not great. Who's even – tomorrow's power rankings, who's even number three? I mean, it could be the Chiefs because it's the Chiefs and it's one game. But Cincinnati had 7 yards in the second half against Cleveland. That's not their defense. That's their
yards.
Offense.
Yeah.
And they were super lucky to win on a couple of missed kicks. Denver was terrible in their game, but Tennessee was worse.
Right.
Chargers? I mean, I don't know.
I'm not going to be inclined to elevate Indianapolis.
Indianapolis?
off of what they did to Miami.
That happened fast.
It really did.
It's not Miami. They could be 16 tomorrow in that thing. Yeah. They might be. So, all year, right? You're talking about how we spent our summer. You still got to wait until January, but you've got the Chiefs and you've got the Ravens, and then maybe you have Cincinnati, maybe you have Houston. How about Houston? 9 points. Terrible.
Yep.
Dysfunctional on offense. Everybody's kind of terrible right now, except these two. And you beat them. So you've got like a game and a half on Baltimore because of that, if it comes to that.
Well, that's
huge.
I mean, it really did as the weekend, I mean, really by Friday night, once Kansas City lost. I think I know how most of the week I think I sounded like I'm bracing for, you know, a downer of a kind. Oh, well, you know, Baltimore poured a lot into it. It's a long season. You even asked at one point last week, who's it worse? You know, who's a worse loss? Like, you know, whoever loses, like, who's it worse for? And I said Baltimore, even though they're on the road, because they seem like they're pouring everything into this. They want revenge and all this, and it was going so great. But man, you get the opportunity with the Chiefs losing. Yes, there are other teams in the conference who are 1-0, but really, the Chiefs, Ravens, and Bills still, to me, are the top three teams in the conference. And to have an opportunity to put the other two both in the same hole, it's not a deep hole, but it's a hole. You have a leg up on them, and you're in pole position. Like, it might take a lot. You know, if it were an F1 race, you got the lead into the first corner, and maybe that's all you need. As long as you don't, you know, as long as your lug nuts don't come off, you're going to maybe have a pretty good drive. And I don't think the Bills are going to have an easy drive to the one seed, but to be ahead of those two teams and with a head-to-head tiebreaker already on one of them was a great opportunity this early in the season. And it sort of amped up the anxiety going into the game for me, because I was kind of sort of passively, you know, long year, let's not worry about it, just September. It was sort of my mindset all last week and leading into the game. But once Kansas City lost, that shifted for me. I was like, there's more pressure here now. Go get this one and, you know, see how long it lasts, but let them chase you for a while.
Yeah, you rarely have an easy path to the one, but they might have another easy path to the division. The Dolphins, that's a dumpster fire, you know, meme. The Jets, I'll move over to emojis. They're the emoji where you sort of put your finger on your lips and tilt your head, like, And the Patriots were awful. And we said about how, like, Miami, everybody was negative on Miami, and they were right. Horrendous. Worst performance in the league yesterday. Had to be. Patriots were not supposed to be. Everybody liked the Patriots. Right. You know, it was sort of, we're buying it. And, yeah, not good there at all. So it could be, here's Sunday, and, like, you win at the Jets, what are we looking at? Then it's the Dolphins and the Saints. Wow, what a outcome last night, how it turns what the conversation would have been into, I mean, not entirely, but into such an optimistic one. All right, Football Monday on WGR. Eric Wood is back with us this year for however many years it's been. It's been a long time, but Eric joins us Mondays at 4 Eastern, and we may talk to Sal later too. Hope to hear from you next at 803-0550. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and sugar-free. First-round picks like watermelon, wild berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
Well, it's just something I wanted to tell him. Like, I know we don't know each other that well yet, but I just want to let you know, like, I know I just got here and it may not be perfect right now, but I'm going to do everything I can to try to be perfect. Just help this team win while I'm here.
Matt Prater. Nice little debut. 3-for-3 on field goals, including the game winner. Matt Prater, 2 extra points as well. Not a given anymore. Loop missed one. So Baltimore is up 15 on that last Henry touchdown, and they go for the extra point. Could have gone for 2 there. These teams should always go for 2 because look how good they are. How do you stop? You know, what kind of odds would you give the Bills or the Ravens on a 2-point play? The Bills go 0-for-3.
Right, I was going to say, they can't be stopped.
And the Ravens in the playoffs went 0-for-2, right? I don't know. I always want to see it. 15, they're going to have to – they didn't. I should just stop. Because your math is they're going to have to make a 2-point play right. Once, and they're probably not going to try it twice. They're just going to try to tie you. That's what teams do. Get to 17, 3 scores. Well, the Bills did score 3 times. 3 touchdowns. Well, 2 touchdowns and the field goal to win it. So, anyway, math kind of went out the window on this game, I guess. 0-for-3 on the 2-pointers. Crazy game. Amazing night. The Bills take it over the Ravens. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here on WGR. Eric Wood in half an hour. Let's talk to Dave here. Hi, Dave.
Hey, how are you? I want to give a little bit of a message, I guess, to the fan base out there. It seems the Bills have picked up fans all over the world. A lot of new, generations and so forth have come on. But I've watched as a fan some 55 seasons. This team, although they didn't win the Super Bowl, they own a title that they will never, ever lose, and that has to be the most dramatic team in NFL history. Every single game, whether it's a loss or a win or wherever it is during the season, it's going to be a game that you're going to want to watch every minute, and you're going to want to take a nap afterwards. But you just can't count them out after watching that in person, that comeback game, some 30-some points. It just seems like this team can put the pedal to the metal whenever they need to, or they can maybe do just enough wrong to make it a nail biter. But I would just say that you're not wasting your time when you watch the Bills. And I think the defense has taken a bad rap for this last go around here, because Josh doesn't have a chance to come back if they don't shut him down late, you know. And Derrick Henry, he sees a little daylight. He's gone like a hot rod pickup truck. That guy is amazing. But I just think the defense or the whole team as a whole, you know, made it happen in the end. And I'd say for the Bills fans that you know you're not wasting your time to watch them. It's a thrill a minute, and give them a chance. So that's all I got.
Okay, thanks, Dave. Justin's next. Hi, Justin.
Hey. I am one of the guys who left early last night. So you're talking about what are we going to talk about if this game goes wrong? I got about a 15-minute walk to my car, and I'm not a caller into the radio guy, which is ironic because I'm currently calling into the radio.
You are.
I'm thinking about all I'm doing is I'm thinking about why I'm so mad and all the things I'm angry about, and then I get to my car and I hear that we're in the game. And I'm just blown away. What drove me absolutely nuts was if we go back to the very beginning of the game, we drive down the field, we score. Ed Oliver gets the sack. We hold him. We are our second drive, great first down. We are in 2nd and 1.
Yep.
Run up the middle, 4th and 3, punt. Yep. I thought the offensive play calling in general was just so vanilla and boring until it couldn't be anymore. until they had to spread it out. And, like, I know we give Joe Brady a ton of credit. He's done a good job. But I thought last night, like, come on, man. Like, just how good our offense can be, how good the pieces we have, whether it's Cook, whether it's the line, whether it's Josh. Like, what are we doing on some of these play calls, like, the entire first half?
Yeah,
that's what drove me nuts.
I think that's entirely fair. Yeah, there was a lot of the that quick stuff at the line of scrimmage early in the game, and it really, you'd want to really fact check this, but my the perception I have is similar to the caller. Like, they at gunpoint started throwing the ball down the field because they were down and they had to. And oh, go figure, Josh Allen ends up throwing for almost 400 yards with 250 of it coming in the fourth quarter when you were chasing it. So
also the end of the half.
Sure. So hopefully they learn, and credit to them for going at the end of the half. That was 25 seconds. Like, some of the stuff that's burned me about McDermott in past years, not always the same stuff that burns everyone, but like not letting him try to get you points. Steal a possession there. Steal a field goal. And they got it. I mean, they just barely got it, but they got it. And none of that happens if they just, all right, let's just regroup, right? Let's not make a mistake here. Let's just get to the locker room and stop the bleeding for now. So credit to them. Hopefully they learned something about, I don't say what they're capable of. I'm sure they know what they have to some extent, but man, get the ball down the field. Will you please? Like, it would stand to reason that Baltimore would be guarding against that more so at the time the Bills were successful doing it, wouldn't it? And yet it still worked. I mean, you just had precision. The throw to Palmer is just a perfect throw. To me, reminiscent of the one against the 49ers in Arizona back in 20. Like, just that precise. Not the exact same kind of throw, but, like, maybe quickly when you first see it, it's not the most impressive thing. But then the more you watch it, different angles, you're like, man, you just had to lay that right. It's not too much air. It's not a laser. It's just sort of in between, and just, it's just right.
How about the ball that Johnson misses?
Right.
The left pylon.
That's a perfect throw.
Amazing. Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely, it's a Ravens point, not a Bills point, but that is definitely a takeaway here. I mean, Baltimore is getting destroyed for, again, blowing a game with such a high chance of winning, and it's strategy. You know, it's like how they, it's Jackson too. It's not just coaching, but like decisions that are made in the final minutes of these games are highly questionable, and it costs them. But it's, you know, everybody's so enamored of their team. They're everybody's favorite roster, or the Eagles, you know, but the Ravens are described differently than the Chiefs are, and the Bills are. Like, well, Baltimore has the most good players, and you can't get a stop. Like, when they needed it last night, the defense is so good. Get a pressure, or, you know, somebody makes a play in the secondary, a couple of pass breakups. But nope, that did not happen. So it's not just that Henry fumbled. It's not just that they punted at the end and those kinds of things. When it came to the end of the game, they were unable to do anything, you know, for a team that gets so much credit. Isaac is next. Hi, Isaac.
Hello?
Yes. Hello, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Yes, hi. I wanted to know if I could just criticize Brandon Bean a little bit. I want to say, besides drafting Allen and trading for Diggs, there's nobody else on the team that, like, really excites me. Like, you know, the other teams in the mix, like the Ravens and Eagles, they got playmakers all over the field, and the Lions too. There's just superstars everywhere. And other than Allen, like, I don't know, nobody really excites me like a Barkley or Derrick Henry. Like, I don't know. I just want to know your guys' thoughts on that. That's it.
What matters more than the record? What matters more, no offense, how many players excite you or how many games they win? Like, sure, I just sort of made this point about Baltimore. Like, they get this credit for their roster depth and the Bills don't, and I think it's mostly fair. Playmakers is an interesting word. So the Eagles, and I guess the Ravens, have players you'd consider playmakers on defense. And the Bills, likewise, would not, their guys would not get the same credit, especially with, you know, Hyde and Poyer gone. It's just, it's different than those teams. Offensively, name them. Let's hear the list. Baltimore, Philadelphia. Let's hear the list of how many playmakers. It's about the same. And if the Bills actually get there with Coleman, or even Kincaid, but like Coleman is pivotal to this. And then you can say Cook if you want. I mean, Cook still doesn't play half the snaps, and he kind of had a typical Cook game. The caller before about play calling that second possession, it was Cook inside, second and one, third and one. Like he said, I tweeted, like, shocking that that didn't work. I mean, just he's what he is. But you do, he is explosive, and he showed you that last night too.
Yeah, that was a huge play in the game.
So Coleman might be the tipping point for the playmakers thing with this team.
Kincaid, I think, looked really good too in this game. Like, just running. Just, I think the film is going to be kind to him. Well, I mean, we'll see what everybody says about that when it all gets poured over. But right away, there's an early, maybe on the first drive of the game. I'm not sure now if it's that drive or not. He absolutely is mauling a defensive back at the sideline. On a play, like the play goes right between he and this player, this Ravens player, and the sideline, and he is just murdering this guy. And I felt like that was, I don't know, you can pour too much into a single rep, right? But Kincaid, we need him to be stronger. You know, he's got to be a little more physical, durable. That certainly worked. He looked very sharp to me, running routes and making plays. I mean, he didn't do a ton in the game, but it was a great catch in traffic on the first touchdown. I mean, he was getting sandwiched by two guys there. It's a better throw than it is a catch, but still, the catch was not nothing.
Right. Nico is with us. Hello.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Great game last night. I stayed till the end. I feel like that has to be said. You stayed or you didn't. But I was watching Dalton Kincaid the entire game, and when he's on the field, he seems dominant. Like, he seems like he's winning his matchups. That first play was beautiful. It seems like Josh looked at him, threw it to him. He caught it. It was a touchdown. Everything that happened, you know, it was great. But he's never on the field. I don't understand why Dawson Knox is starting over him. I know that they said something about run blocking, but when you're down, I just couldn't understand why they wouldn't want him on the field. It seems like they're – I don't know what their plan is with Kincaid, so I'm just curious if you guys saw that or –
Yeah, no, that's what it's been, and that's kind of what it was last night, too. I guess I don't have it down what the distribution was as the game got late because, I mean, they're losing all night, but they're not out of reach. So they'd want to be their offense. You know, they'd want to run their offense. And the question with Kincaid has always been, well, at whose expense does he play more? I think he's more sort of what Shakir does than he is what Knox does. But that doesn't have to be right. That might be different now. That might be different now, but it is correct that Knox played more than Kincaid last night. Kincaid was 51% of the snaps, and even like his route percentage isn't good for somebody that you'd want to get better numbers from. That doesn't mean he can't help you, but I think it was like 60% of the routes. And for a guy that plays his role, if you will, like his style, that's not really promising, but it's one game. I don't know if, I mean, not to get cocky, but if the Jets are really still the Jets, it could be a long time before we get any new intel on the Bills. Like, because it's Miami and then New Orleans after that, New England at home, Atlanta, Carolina. All those teams lost, you know, like just who do they play first that won yesterday? Kansas City lost. I'm like to week 10 and everybody on their schedule is 0-1. Am I missing one?
Yeah, Tampa week 11 is the, right? Jets, Miami, New Orleans, New England, Atlanta, Carolina, Kansas City, Miami, Tampa. Tampa's the first team that won.
Tampa in week 11 is the next Bills opponent that has a win so far. Then Houston, which is looked terrible the following week. The Browns are in here. I don't know, man. We once in a while somebody brings up, was Ross Tucker even someone to talk about this? Like holding back your stuff?
Mm-hmm.
This could be more of a year for that than last year was. And I said back to that point this offseason, well, last year was the time for that because you ran away with first place and you could do that. You were chasing.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. you'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In Kansas City, possibly this year, you don't have that challenge. I don't know. That win might end up being so important for both of those teams that, you know, the loss for the Ravens. And it feels like it kind of sets up that way. Eric Wood at 4, Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.